there and putting folding those bills or writing that check and cramming that in there. I don't know if Andy said, but by Father's Day, we'll be collecting them. When that basket in the mission alcove is empty, then you can start bringing them in. So we keep ours on our counter where we snack and eat each day just to remind us. There are people in the world who live in a house the size of your bathroom. One time when the kids were little, we actually went upstairs in the bathroom and had dinner on the floor in the bathroom to just try and get our brain around your whole life. You live in a tiny little room with all of your kids and try to survive. So I wanted you to see that video today to understand it comes full. It's the whole story. It's a beautiful thing, right? So I am here to do part two of our mission series that Andy started on last Sunday. And he talked last Sunday about Others Day. If you were not here, you're able to get on the podcast and listen to his sermon. And then this week, Deli and Andy and I sat in front of microphones and we recorded a continuing conversation around what that looks like for our church. The leadership in our church is feeling like it's time for us to go to the next level. So statistics say in a church of any size, 1 out of 7 people are volunteering and giving generously to the actual church they're attending. So as we were singing the song today, I speak Jesus. I named some of the strongholds that we face as Americans living in the Midwest, trying to be Christians, post-pandemic, all the things. And I spoke Jesus over strongholds that I think just as a society we're struggling with. I spoke Jesus over fear and timidity. I spoke Jesus over whatever it is that keeps us from doing what we actually want to do. Because what I know about all of you, whether you've just started coming here, if you're visiting, you've been here for years, I know what you want to do. And sometimes there's challenges that keep us. So Andy talked about courageous mothers and how selfless they are and how they sacrifice and identified that the church is the mother. And so as a church body, we as the church, the mother, what we're going to do and what we are doing and what we have done to be selfless and sacrifice. The definition he used was relentless affection, possessive protection. Andy started the story that maybe some of you hadn't heard of before on Sunday. Her name is Rizpah. She was an ancient woman. We unpacked it a little bit more during the podcast. And for those of you who need to catch up, I'll just tell you what this story is about. It's actually a story in the second book of Samuel. Rizpah lived in the ancient days where women were way low in society. She was also not even a wife of the king. They called her a concubine. So this is the land of kings and ancient times where kings had many wives. They'd conquer land and bring someone and marry them for power. And Rizpah was the concubine of the first king of Israel. His name was Saul. Saul has since, in this story, been dethroned and is dead. And King David, you'll recognize that. King David was king, beginning of his reign. And there were these Gibeonites who were neighbors. And there needed some justice needed to be done, and King David knew about it. What had happened was Saul and all his soldiers had come in and done, just annihilated them. And they were wanting revenge. So David asks the Gibeonites, what can we do? Like, can we give you some money? Like, let's make peace here. Let's figure this out. And they said, well, you know what? We don't want your money. We would like 7 of the sons of the past king, Saul. We'll take 7 of them. You'll give them to us. We're going to execute them, and then we'll be good. So we find in the story that Andy introduced to us, Rizpah is at the foot of where all of these 7 men had been hung at the lynching place. And the scripture tells us that she stayed there for 5 months. And Andy brought out like this stench watching. Now, what she was doing is she was keeping a vigil and she was brushing away the birds throughout the day and any predators that came at night. Not for like a couple of days, for 5 months. It was insane to even get our brains around. At the end of the 5 months, King David, I'm not sure why it took so long, but King David heard about it and he was moved. Something that Andy said, the love of a mother moved the king. And the result of that was he said, I need to honor what has actually happened in all of this ancient way of violence. And the scripture says that he went into the land and gathered all the soldiers, including King Saul's bones and his King David's friend Jonathan, and brought them back with all the soldiers. And actually, as well as whatever was left of these men that had been hung, buried them and brought honor. So this woman, who was only mentioned one other time in scripture, and it was about a possibility of a rape in the court of the king. So this woman, in all of what was such a menial life, it feels like, just disregarded and not really noticed, her motherly love and her intention of trying to whatever she could scrape out in her grief to protect her sons and those men who were sons of someone else, actually helped their community, which was the whole point of the story. Relentless affection, possessive protection. If you want to bring it to more modern time, let's go to 1955. In a modern context of a mother's public fight, who also was lamenting over her powerlessness in our society. It was a hot summer night in August. A 14-year-old by the name of Emmett Hill was taken by two white men out of a relative's home in Mississippi. He was viciously beaten, and he was murdered, and he was thrown into a river. And when his mother, who was in Chicago, and the deformed, beaten, swollen, disfigured body showed up, to her horror and grief, she decided she was going to display that horror with an open casket. And the nation noticed. This became something that became very public. And it helped start one of the things that ushered in the civil rights movement that really took off in the 60s. Again, a mother who affected her community. So if the church is a mother and needs to show relentless affection, protection, it's going to take some sacrifice. I think that's what I'm here to tell you about. I have asked for prayer from my prayer partners. I have interviewed people I've talked about. We have a diverse church of people that from all kinds of experiences in life and in religion. I'm super grateful for that. But it is time for us to get outside of ourselves if we're not already doing it, or just get outside of ourselves more. This picture makes me think of the pandemic when we weren't allowed to go outside hardly. And it's official, I hear, that we're no longer in that emergency space. And I think some things have happened to us as an American culture that I just would like to offer for you to consider. And I would love for you to find courage at whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you of you today. Again, diverse church, diverse amount of relationships with God and experience. You live in different jobs and neighborhoods and different areas in our community. What does it look like for us here at Christway? And as Americans and as citizens of the world, we just watched a video about maybe some place we're never going to go, but we're sure going to try and help what those people in their country are sacrificing, and they're buying local food. The money we send pays for 100% of the local food for those kids to be fed so they can grow and be healthy and actually have a future and can think and find Jesus, be able to hear the gospel. Jesus said we're to go, and in a generous way. So who are we sacrificing for? Who are we watching? How are we abiding with the traumatized? Which I think is one of the avenues that our church has a very strong bent towards. What uncomfortable places are we putting ourselves in? Who are we protecting? Who are we feeling the relentless affection for? So, as a good teacher should, I'm blessed to define some terms. As a church, what is our mission? As part of the church, what is my role in the mission of the church? What does God's word say about our mission? Some of you will know immediately scriptures, others not so much. So in this contemplative space you're in, just want you to like listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you if you don't actually know. As the body of Christ, we're called to abide with the traumatized in the most uncomfortable places. Has anyone done that for you when you were traumatized? They sat with you. You knew they were uncomfortable. You were uncomfortable. And you sat there, or you hugged, or you cried, or you called and listened. You talked for 2 hours. Ministry of presence. Don't necessarily have an answer. There's no simple fixes outside of speaking Jesus. And sometimes that doesn't happen quick enough. It's not just the work for the pastoral team in our community. We're all pastors, right? You'll find that out if you've been here for a while. The leadership has been talking and dreaming for weeks now. What is the role of our community in our community outside of these walls? Every week, asking. We feel that something is shifting, and we want to join what God is already doing. I know you want to do that too. My dream is for us to be known not only for love and diversity and freedom of worship, but for generosity. I would love for us as a community to be known, and I'm not saying we're not known that, but like we really, really live out the generosity. Sharing what God has given us just freely. That, I think, is how others will see Jesus, by our love. And I've prayed for years, since the beginning of our marriage, for God to fill me with his agape love. You talk to me for more than a few minutes, you're going to probably hear that. When I pray for you, I bind up the spirit of fear, and I ask the Lord to loose his agape love on you, agape love. That's unconditional. That is not human. I wanted to love my husband, even though maybe he was failing in some part. I wanted to love him unconditionally. And I asked for that, and the Lord answered my prayer, and I pray that for you, and I pray for God to fill me with his agape love, to love you in this building, outside of this building. Some of us, when we hear mission, maybe there's a little dread that slips in. Oh, is the Lord going to call me to Africa, is what everybody says, right? Yeah. Do I have to live in a hut? Yeah. Yeah, that's normal. Maybe you're going to get to go on a mission trip wherever God is taking our community and you individually. Right out of college, I went to Puerto Rico for 6 months. Amazing. My mom said I came home, totally changed. Things I expected I was going to do, I had imagined when I offered to go to the mission field, biking through Kenya and living in a hut myself. And I ended up being able to go to Puerto Rico, which was kind of nice. Got to go all over the Caribbean. I was teaching English and teaching kids, totally experiencing the part that you don't see when you get off the cruise boat. Great joy. Annie and I have had the privilege to go to El Salvador. We've gone to France and seen the other side of that also. Our church in Maryland, we went to Mississippi right after Katrina, I believe it was, and literally worked. I know you've heard of those. Maybe some of you have gone on those. I would love for you to go to coffee with each other in the next few weeks and talk about, this was my experience when I went to Montana and I served here and I got to go do something in Haiti. Let's remember those things before the pandemic when we had liberty to do those things. But mission is not just about over there. It's about our neighborhood. The first century church also lived in a violent time where there was lots of philosophy being talked about in their society. Think Greeks and Romans. And there was an accepted practice for unwanted children. There's letters that show that keep the male and throw out the girl. History tells us that the Christians were actually got their hands dirty And they begin to start saving and rescuing and loving unwanted children, those children of smugglers and thieves and prisoners and pirates who were abandoned, those children who survived but were deformed from failed abortions. They didn't so much worry about passing laws or influence the hall of power. They actually got their hands dirty. They were sitting in uncomfortable places, abiding with the traumatized. So if you feel strongly about ending the abortion access, can you serve mothers in crisis yourself? What is a solution that you're able to give that pregnant or single mother? Can you mentor a young father? Can you adopt? Can you give generously of your time and money to organizations that are already serving vulnerable people? Are you able to sit and listen to the story post the abortion to understand and to love them as the grief perhaps surfaces year after year? I think that's the mission of the church. I know that's what you want to do, and I pray for courage for you. That as God is calling you, as the Holy Spirit is telling you, that you're going to walk it out, whatever that is that you're called to. Now, historically, the church has made many mistakes. I want us to be generous in our love to those who are hurting. Last week, Andy said something like this that we prayed at the end. Send us the ones you love, and we will love the ones you send. I know you prayed that if you were here last week or listened to it online. Again, the agape love. I once watched a documentary a long time ago that filled me both with horror and compassion. It was a cruise to the Caribbean that was organized for about 500 families for 7 days. What horrified me is several ports that they stopped at, there were people waiting for them. Those people were shouting very harsh words and they had waving big signs. The documentary showed those parents with their kids having to walk by, hearing and reading words like hell and repentance and sin. The cruisers were disgusted and horrified and quite angry, and I was sick to my stomach watching it. What if that was their only exposure to religion? Would it be any wonder that they speak of Christians with such disdain? How can the church become a magnet and not a repellent by getting outside of ourselves? People on that cruise were created in the image of God. Obviously, that documentary has impacted me still when I think about that. Send us the ones you love, and we will love the ones you send. These 8 weeks of missions and giving is calling us to generosity, I believe. So, an overcoming is what I had mentioned already before. Any fear that might be left over from COVID or just from our own experiences, fear of sacrifice, fear of being uncomfortable, fear of making a mistake. There's a story in Matthew that Jesus told about a servant, 3 servants. Master had to leave for a while, 3 servants. Gave one $3,000, gave another $2,000, gave another one or something like that. 2 of those servants got to work and they doubled. This is when people talk about your talent, right? And one of those servants said, "Ah," and he hit it. And when the master came back, he said, "Oh, I know like your expectations are high and you don't want us to make mistakes. And I thought I'll just protect this and I'll tidy this away." And if you know the story that Jesus told, Jesus said that the master was not a happy camper and said some harsh words. And what he did with the 2 that had doubled their talent while he was away is he actually partnered with them and gave the money to them. I don't want you to be in that place, afraid, feeling like you need to protect. Are you afraid of feeling vulnerable? Do you fear just getting outside of yourself to some place that's maybe uncomfortable and different than what you've experienced? Jesus also told when he was telling that story about a king. And in the parable that he was telling, he talked about the king said that he was hungry and they did not feed him. The king said he was thirsty and they didn't give him a drink. He said he was homeless and they didn't give him a bed. and that he was shivering and they didn't give him clothes. He was sick and he was in prison and they didn't even visit. When he told this story, these listeners were like in shock. What in the world are you talking about? And he explained, Jesus did, whenever you fail to do these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. Now I'm looking at you as I speak, and I know a lot of your stories, and I know who you are serving that are ignored and overlooked and that are hungry. I know that. But it appears that God is doing something, and he wants to join us to join him as a body of believers on what that's going to look like. How that's going to be selfless and sacrificial. How we're going to make disciples just by feeding people, by paying attention to them. John chapter 1, verse 14, in the Message says this. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from the start to finish. You know who he's talking, what that scripture is talking about? Who that was? The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes. That is what we're called to do. We're going to tell the gospel. We're going to love the Lord God with all of our hearts. We're going to love our neighbor as much as ourselves. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 tells us to love God with all our hearts, with all our passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence. I know that's what you're pursuing to do. And I'm asking for you to have courage to really, with your muscle, really allow that passion that God has blessed you with. How do you love your neighbor? How do we as a body of believers love our neighbors? Perhaps you don't even love yourself. And maybe we need to just stop for half a second and tell you that you can find freedom. And when you find freedom, you can live abundantly. We are starting freedom groups back up in August just for that purpose. A lot of us have made that journey. We're still continuing that journey of loving ourselves. And as much as we love ourselves, which is human nature, we're to love others. And look what God has done. The rescued will become the rescuers. I don't know if you've noticed the spike here. Just a reference to a story that you would have heard a few weeks ago. If you've seen the reels that are online, you've also heard the story. This spike just represents somebody in our congregation told the story in his small group. And the story goes that he was here at the church actually serving the church. He was doing yard work, pulling weeds and bringing in, just making it look nice. And he brought one of his bikes that he'd had for a long time. And he thought, oh, my friend that's going to be serving with me, I'll just give it to him. And he probably needs it. When he told his friend about it, his friend's like, oh, no, I'm fine. We're good. We don't need any more bikes in our garage. And then what ultimately happens is someone is walking by. And this person among you noticed this person was going somewhere. And he realized that that bike was not for his friend. It was for this stranger. And I don't know if he's seen the stranger since. But look what he was doing. He was serving. And then while he was serving, God had him do something else. And, you know, if you ride a bike every day, you understand the necessity of that. Some of us just ride for exercise or for pleasure or at the beach. Some people, this is their only transportation. And what a gift. What a gift God used. His generosity. I call it the art of serving or one anothering. We are a body of many parts. We are diverse. I'm so thrilled with that. You are talented at some things. My mother sewed every piece of clothing I wore growing up. I can hardly sew on a button. Okay? Maybe when I'm older, I'll learn. There are some of you that like can do things for people sewing, make a curtain or make an outfit or put something in a shoebox that we send overseas. Becoming a face in the story is something that we say a lot too. Becoming a face in someone's story. You've done that for me. I've done that for you. And I think the Lord is asking us to be sacrificial and generous with becoming a face in someone's story. You're going to hear in a few weeks about the transformational giving that will, I feel like, lead us right into where God is asking us. For sacrifice, can you mentor a child at Fuquay Elementary? I just had a party this last week. See their cutie patooties and see the relationship between an adult and a child who's, you see them each week. Check up on them, see how they're doing, help them maybe sometimes with schoolwork, though they don't want to do schoolwork with us. They want to play and they want to talk, right? Yeah. We only had 9, which is amazing. Someone told me, I can't believe we only had 9 people mentoring. If you are retired, if you have mornings off, maybe the Holy Spirit's asking you to do that. That's just a program that we have joined in. It's called Kids Hope. Can you walk the neighborhood praying for anything that you see, people or houses, businesses? Can you plant a garden at an orphanage? Can you tend someone's yard that's just weedy, and instead of being aggravated, maybe think maybe they're not able, maybe they don't have a lawnmower, maybe they're sick, or maybe they're traveling. Trim their trees or rake. Can you pick up trash in a neighborhood? Can you build a relationship so when hard things come, you can just sit with them, walk with them, listen to them, help them. Can you make disciples? One of the missions of our church. Can you make disciples by babysitting, by baking cookies, maybe just by smiling and asking someone something about them? Again, I've prayed for courage for you. You may be shy. You may be in the middle of just a really hard thing. You may be consumed with grief. You may live alone. Maybe you don't even feel social, especially after the pandemic. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck. What is the Holy Spirit asking of you? What is that going to look like for you? The next step. You're doing that already. You're not doing it. For all these reasons. Can our one anothering be affection? Can it be protection? Can it be intercession? Can it be accepting? We have something we talk about, the ABCs. A is acceptance. We want you to belong. We want you to be in our community. We want you to feel that. If 6 out of 7 of you, on an average, according to statistics, are not giving to your local church monetarily or with time or volunteering, then I think we need to speak Jesus into that. May Christ's way be a reservoir, deep waters for people to draw from, so full that they overflow. I know you want to get out of your own way and to help. And I'm just speaking it into the atmosphere. So whatever the Lord has been asking of you, or just what is it you notice? May you be filled with courage for those things that you notice. Around here, if you see a weed, you hear a voice, right? It can be that simple. So I pray for an open mind as we continue on this journey, that your heart would be softened. Jesus is drawn to your faith. You're sitting here because you're a person of faith. You're looking for something. You have found something. You're wanting to share something. Send us the ones you love, and we will love the ones you send. So I speak, Jesus, to you and over you, those things that I've mentioned today. Andy's going to come up here in just a second. I want to pray over you as we sit in just a minute of silence to contemplate what it is that God is wanting us to join him in. So Lord, I thank you for the eyes that I looked in for these last few minutes. Faces that I know, and some of them I don't. Stories that I know, and some that I don't know, maybe the beginning of a story. But you, for some reason, have brought all of these people into this room today. And I'm asking for courage and for your agape love to be full in our hearts as a body and as individuals and in our conversations, that we encourage each other and that we challenge each other, and what we see in each other, we speak life over. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity for our family to serve this community, this body of believers. We find it a great privilege to walk side by side on the path. In our house, you know how much we talk and we plan and we pray and we think and we fight for people that are in our community. So whatever it is you have planned, your ideas are always better, and you know what's in the future. You know who's in this building. You know the journey that you've already taken them on. So we just surrender all of that to you. Finding freedom, finding you as our rescuer, allowing your word to fill us so full that it overflows and leads us into abundant living. All parts of the journey that we as a community are on and individually. I pray courage, that these strongholds that were mentioned and fear be bound up, and your spirit loosed on our community, our neighborhoods that you are wanting us to walk through and serve and pay attention to, those who are hurting, those who are vulnerable. So I thank you, Lord, for the softening of hearts, and I thank you for the openness and the generosity that is already among us, and we are believing for the supernatural generosity to be an outcome of this focused series. So I thank you and honor you for this opportunity to speak to my brothers and sisters.
The prayer is, would you help me be generous? So, Emma was about 2 years old, and we were traveling in Dallas, and I was speaking at a big conference, and Melinda and Sis came with me, and we were at a hotel, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, and it was summer in Texas. It was hot. Princess wanted to jump in the pool. Well, I thought, I'm not in a swimsuit. I had like a swishy, you know, sweatpants on and a shirt. I thought, I can kick off my shoes and jump in. So I just jumped in real quick, and she's two, you know, and we're just floating around and being a motorboat and making sounds and doing all this stuff. And then I noticed something. I noticed dollar bills floating in the water. And I was like, oh no. Because not only were dollar bills in my pocket, my cell phone was in my pocket. The price of love. I was like, oh my goodness. So we did our little swim, and then I had an afternoon session, and I met with the host pastor and a few people. We were in a kind of a boardroom sitting around, and he's like, man, how you doing? How's your day? I said, bro, I sizzled my phone. He said, really? And I told him the story. He sat right across from me, and this is back in the day when a BlackBerry was the schnizzle. It was the deal, right? A BlackBerry. So he took this, when schnizzle was something as well, he took this phone and slid it over to me. And I slid it back. I'm like, what are you doing? He slid it back over. He says, there, take that phone. I said, dude, that's your phone. He said, yeah, it's all right. I'll get another one. I'm like, you're giving me your cell phone? And then he told me this. He said, I made a promise to God years ago that every single day I will give something away. Every single day for the rest of my life, I will give something away. I said, man, it's your cell phone. He said, do you need a cell phone? I said, I do. You got one. I would like to pray that prayer. I would like to live in that space. Anyone feeling courage? Scripture tells us that the Lord himself calls us to put him to the test. You know, the scripture in Luke 4, he says, you don't tempt the Lord, right? You don't test God and tempt God, but God said in the book of Malachi, he said, test me and see. Test me and see. Test me and see if you can be more generous than I am. My pastor taught me this. He said, the Lord will never be indebted to you. Never. He will never be indebted to you. Whatever you give, he will give you more. Whatever you sacrifice, he's going to one up that. He will never be in your debt. Anybody feel some courage to say, I'd like to be generous. I'd like to be generous. Let's pray that together as we close. Lord, help us be generous. Let this spirit of generosity that Melinda's spoken about today, that was acted out in my life so many years ago when that man flipped his phone over across the table. Help us give something away. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a meal. Whatever it is. Lord, baptize us with the generosity that you have. You did not come to be served, but you came to serve. And we pray that truly your spirit would fill us, that spirit of generosity, that spirit of awareness. We pray it to be so. Let it take root in our life. Let it grow in our life. Each one of us, even when we don't think we have anything to give, the woman that gave 2 cents gave more than everyone. That's your economy. So help us dial into that today. And wherever we find ourselves, change us today. Change us today. Right now, change us. Be generous. Let that generosity be the size of your love for people. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for joining us through this series. Get outside of yourself. Now it's time to get outside, right? So we'll see you soon. Take care. Blessings.